Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
Let's just lift our hands to heaven. Let me pray over all of us. Holy Spirit, we give this night to you. We ask that you'd be glorified tonight. We ask that there would be miracles, signs, and wonders. We ask for encounters with you and only you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that because you said it is finished, we have access to all of you. So Holy Spirit, have your way tonight. Do what only you can do. We're asking for a move in Jesus' name. Church, we said amen. Amen, amen. Can we give it up for our worship team? You guys are extraordinary. Y'all can go ahead and give your neighbor a high five. Say, I'm so glad you're here. It's good to be together on a Wednesday night. Wednesday nights are my favorite. I like seeing what the Holy Spirit does when we give him room. And on Wednesday nights, it's usually about that time. It's in the middle of the week when we need an injection. We need to have an attitude adjustment. We need to bring some things to God, and we need to see him move. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. I want to honor our lead pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, for the visionaries that they are, for the faith that they carry for all of us. And I want to honor my husband, Pastor Mike, who provides the most incredible covering for the South region of San Diego. He is with our son right now at a Padres game. He took a vacation day today. It's his birthday tomorrow, and I'm very excited to celebrate him. And I told him, you know what, babe? I'm going to preach tonight. Don't leave early. Just enjoy the time with your son. And he said, really? You're loving me so much this week, so I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job so far. We'll see. We'll see, guys. But I honestly feel so humbled to be able to stand on this platform and to bring the Word of God. And honestly, all day, I've just been a little bit wrecked, but in a good way, that we get to have access to the Word of God. That we get to have access to Jesus himself. We just had Easter Sunday, and it was the most beautiful, rainbow, rainy day, and God was glorified, and so many people said yes to Jesus. As a church, we had over 600 people say yes to Jesus on Sunday, and over 200 of those were children, you guys. Like, there is revival happening. And we're going into Hero production that starts right now, and in the past, historically, Hero has seen even more responses to Jesus than Easter Sunday. So we're believing, expecting, and interceding for God to be glorified throughout the entire Easter week and going into this next season. And I was praying, okay, you know, Easter Sunday, I mean, for those of us that serve and lead, like, there's a lot of preparation, a lot of prayer, planning that goes into this monumental Sunday. And then I asked God, all right, now what? We had Easter, now what? And all I heard him say was, Jesus. I'm like, okay, but now what? And all I kept hearing was Jesus. And I think that it's so easy to get distracted in life and by the things that we're believing for and the things that we're doing and the things that we're going through, but it really is that simple. The answer will always be Jesus. The only answer that will ever make sense is Jesus. The only one that will ever be able to truly heal is Jesus. The only one that deserves the glory is Jesus. And we have to learn how to consecrate and reconsecrate ourselves back to him. And it's easy to get distracted. If you have an iPhone, forget it. I'm not even ADD until I pick up my iPhone. And then I really resonate. It's just like, whoa, squirrel, wait, I picked up my phone to text somebody and now I'm like Googling something that I didn't even intend to Google. Like, what just happened? But that's the state of our world. There's an enemy out there that seeks to kill, destroy, distract, confuse. And the only way that we will get through this life living in the way that Jesus wants us to live by looking to him, by putting him at the center, and by choosing him every single day. It's not enough to just believe in him. The Bible says even the demons believe in him. So what separates us from the demons? It's saying and proclaiming that Jesus is the only way. It's having faith, but not just having faith in our hearts, surrendering our lives so it outworks through the deeds that we do, the fruit that we produce. It's not enough to just lift your hands on a Sunday. What counts is what happens when you get home and what happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when you walk through these doors. How did you walk in? What's the state of your heart? What's your posture towards the Word of God? When's the last time you opened up the Bible, not just to follow along, but to follow him? The title of my message tonight is Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I want to read out of the chapter of Luke about the story of the rich and the kingdom of God. So it picks up in verse 18. I'm just going to read this. We're going to get into it. And the Holy Spirit just wants to be unleashed. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get through this. And then we're going to see him do some amazing things. Amen? Okay. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." The rich person said, "All of these I have kept since I was a boy." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Everyone say, "Follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come in eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. This is the Bible. So what was Jesus saying? He is saying that it's not enough to live a good life. It's not enough to follow some commandments, to make your life look shiny on the outside. It's your heart and your posture and your surrender to follow him. It's your ability that no matter what, no matter what it takes to die to your flesh, no matter what it takes to push through your pride, that you're willing to go the extra mile to get to Jesus. Jesus knew that the thing standing in the way for that man was his money. It wasn't about the money. It was about his heart posture. And you know that because Jesus has no problem with people having money. Later in that scripture, how he answered Peter was, "If you leave everything, if you follow me, if you surrender your entire life to me, then you will have that much more, not just in heaven, in this age." He was talking about while we were here on earth, we have access to the principles of God that store up wealth for not just yourself, but for your children's children. It's not about the money. It's about your heart. It's about your ability to say, "You know what? I'm going to fully run after Jesus. I don't care if I have to leave friends. I don't care if I have to move. I don't care if I have to die to a dream. I don't care if Jesus isn't in it. I don't want it." And that was the trademark of the disciples. If Jesus wasn't there, then they didn't want it. They didn't need to know all the answers. They didn't need to have all the questions answered. They were asking questions to Jesus along the way. Most of the parables were followed up by Jesus' own disciples asking Jesus questions. "Why'd you say that, Jesus? why'd you do that? I'm following you. I'm here. You have my whole life, but I still got some questions. Jesus loves questions, but he hates a heart that's not turned towards him. He can't work with a heart that's not turned towards him. So I only have 2 points tonight, and then I'm gonna open the altar up. But my point number one is, A, come to Jesus meeting. You've come to a Jesus meeting, but have you heard of a come to Jesus meeting? I have come to Jesus meetings a lot with my husband. I have come to Jesus meetings a lot with my kids. I even have come to Jesus meetings a lot with you guys. And it's actually a phrase that the world stole and rebranded. It's a sales term now. Like, oh, did you have the come to Jesus meeting? You can find it in Urban Dictionary. But at the heart of it, there is a lot of times where we have to meet with Jesus. When things get off, when things go rogue, when things go crazy, are you running towards Jesus? And not just running towards him, being honest about where you're at. I used to get marked as being a little bit naive because I have a lot of faith. It's always been something that's come easy to me. If you know my husband's testimony, it's something he really has to fight for. He more, you know, is a little bit on the cynical side, like he's a thinker. But I'm like, shh, I believe the word of God. Sign me up. Let's go. Let's believe. And so I oftentimes will just easily accept whatever is happening, wherever Jesus wants to take me. But if I can be really honest with you, there's been so many moments where I have to push through pride. I have to push through my own desire to not go to those places with Jesus and to be vulnerable with him. And it's really easy to have meetings without Jesus or to tell Jesus how you want things to go. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. So if your meetings with Jesus are you telling him what you want, that's not the word of God. That's not actually how it goes. You're just gonna end up frustrated and with a hardened heart. He wants all of you. He wants you to trust all of him. This isn't a deal. It's not like, hey, let's work out an arrangement, all right? I will become a Christian and then we'll have a budget meeting and this is gonna be my budget that you'll give me and I'll have the credit card from the bank of Jesus Christ and I'll just live my merry life and do happy things with my friends all the rest of the days of my life till I'm beamed up to heaven. That's not how it works. That's not life, right? But how many times do we hit a speed bump or maybe we don't live out the principles of God and we can't come humbly to the altar and repent? How many times do our meetings with Jesus have like one toe in, one toe out? You know what I mean? But God wants to have a come to Jesus meeting with you tonight. And this is what I can tell you from my own experience in learning how to go to Jesus, is that even in the hardest times, he makes me feel secure. He makes me feel like I can keep going. He gives me strength. He strengthens me. He gives me perseverance. He gives me affirmation. He identifies the things I believe that aren't from him and illuminates the truth that cancels out the lies. And we have to get really used to going to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Don't pick up your phone and vent all your feelings without first going to Jesus. And that doesn't mean that you can't have emotions. It doesn't mean that you have to be isolated. We're actually called to be in community with one another, but we have to learn how to do it the right way. We have to learn how to do it the Jesus way, not the world's way. Yeah. Jesus wants to tear down the things that are getting in the way of you from fully having a true relationship with him. Half of you doesn't cut it. 98% of you doesn't cut it. He wants all of you. He wants 100% of you. And until he gets 100% of you, he can't actually flow in and through you the promises of God, the principles of God. And that's why it's good to be in church. He wants surrender. He wants repentance. Mike and I have been in a season of really battling for the promises of God surrounding our finances, but we had to repent last year because we realized that we were living in the promise that hadn't been fulfilled yet. And so what that actually was bad stewardship. We wanted all these things, like we wanted, you know, to hit all these goals, but we couldn't actually die to our flesh and stick to a budget and prioritize the right things. And it's really easy to get like very inspired emotionally being in this church. And it's a really, really good thing. But you always have to harness that inspiration and that those encounter moments, even with vision builders. Before you just take out your phone and give all your money away, make sure that God confirms that number. Make sure you go to the Lord and you look at the map of your life and you're like, okay, this is the season that I'm in. What biblically is sound in my finances? And so, you guys, I mean, this has been a journey for us because neither one of us come from families that understand prosperity, like generational wealth. Like we've had to like clunk our way through. And I'm so grateful for Pastor and Leanne because they've really taught us what the Word of God says. But like 12 years in, like we're like, oh my gosh, like the Holy Spirit convicted us about stewardship. And so this month, if you guys want to join, you're welcome to join. We're doing a no spending challenge where we're trying to spend the least amount of money that we can. So I know. People are like, what are you saying? Because we wanna find joy in the season that we're in. We wanna hit goals. We wanna see, you know, we wanna buy a house in Coronado. We wanna be one of the biggest givers and vision builders for our church. Like we have really high dreams and these amazing things that if we don't steward the little, then why would God entrust us with more? And if you want to be trusted with more, then you have to prove to God that you can be entrusted with what he's already put in your hands. And so this has been a huge journey for Pastor Mike and myself. And so we're like, okay, like literally at first, we would fight every time. And so then we're like, okay, this is real. Like this is for the married people. Maybe I'm like making you feel better. Or maybe you're like, wow, we need to pray for our pastors more. Probably both. Okay, but we would just bicker, like we would get so offended and defensive. And Mike would be like, what was that Amazon purchase for? And I'm like, why are you judging me? I had to buy toilet paper. And he's like, I wasn't judging you. I was just asking you. And I'm like, I feel judged. I feel very judged in this moment, okay? And so then we would just start fighting and bickering. And so then we realized, oh my gosh, the enemy is really getting to us. Like it is so charged and it should not be. And so no joke, at first we had to take communion. It was bad, you guys. We had to take communion before our budget meetings. And then we would have to turn worship music on and pray over each other and remind each other that, and then we would hold hands. We're like, we're on the same team. Yes, okay. You're on my team. Yes, I'm on your team. All right, we can do this. Open up Excel. Let's go. And we're just like determined to figure out how to get through a budget meeting without fighting. So that's where we started last year, okay? Now, 1 year later, and it's still our routine. We turn worship music on, and we pray, we prophesy, we pull up the prophetic words that have been spoken over us, and then we declare we are going to be good stewards. We are going to learn how to do this the Jesus way. We're going to learn how to live the principles of God out in our life, and we're not going to be ashamed for being in the season that we're at. Because when I look back 10 years ago, oh my gosh, the testimony that we carry regarding finances, we have broken off a poverty mentality. We have broken through limiting beliefs. Like, we believe God's word to be true for our life, for your family's life. But then the journeying out part, we have to have Jesus. Okay, I'm just saying. That's just finances. It flows into marriage. I remember Mike saying, I make a really bad Jesus. Stop trying to make me Jesus. Because I would go to him needing what actually I needed to go to God for. My identity, my comfort, my reassurance. And whenever I put Mike above Jesus, that's idolatry. And I love my husband, and he's a really good husband, but it's true, he's a really bad Jesus. He's not like him at all, okay? I love him as a husband, really bad savior, all right? So that took some work for me, because my knee jerk was, oh, I have a husband, I'll just go to him instead of going to Jesus. Because when I got married, I hadn't learned what vulnerability with Jesus looked like. So when I finally had it in a man, I preferred it because it's a lot easier. There's no resistance. The enemy wants it to be an idol, right? So you have to tear it down. Same with our kids. Tear it down. Your money, tear it down. What are those things that are creeping to be first place in your heart? If anything is even close, you got to tear that thing down. It is not worth it. Jesus has to be number one in your life. He has to be the one that you run to. He has to be the one that is the answer. Nothing else can be the answer. Nothing else will be able to be the answer. The word of God says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. But maybe through your husband and your kids. Maybe if you live a good life. No, literally, that's the only way. So offensive, right? But it's the only way is Jesus. Luke 6, 43 through 45 talks about a tree and its fruit. It says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So what is this saying? It's a really good litmus test to how to come to Jesus and what those come to Jesus meetings need to be about. What areas of your life aren't producing the right types of fruit? Because at the end of the day, you can't fake it your whole life. Maybe you can fake it for a season, but eventually, just like the scripture says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So consecration is a prerequisite to producing good fruit. Consecration is a prerequisite to producing good fruit. You will not produce anything good apart from Jesus. You won't be able to live the life, to have the marriage, to have the family unit, to see the promises of God apart from him. And he loves you enough to point it out. He loves you enough to send the Holy Spirit, which is our helper. And each and every one of you has access to a helper to help examine your heart, test your heart, look at your heart. And Wednesday nights are the perfect time to deal with the state of your heart, to reconsecrate yourself back to him, to experience holiness. And Jesus will meet you there. Amen? I'm trying to decide if I should labor more on that or not. I'm going to read a few Proverbs and just let these... I would encourage anybody that, especially those of you that are newer to reading your Bible, read a Proverbs a day. Get wisdom into your heart. Like, learn how to think with the mind of Christ. It says we are able to have the mind of Christ. It says that God is able to transform the way that we think. And so when you come out fresh from the world and you're like, how do I live this life? Whoa, this is very different. Pray that prayer. Declare over your mind. Put your hand on your head and just declare, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So then you can start thinking differently. Proverbs 13:12 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Proverbs 10:8 says, the wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. Proverbs 1:23 says, come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. What's the come to Jesus meeting that you have to have tonight? Let's have a come to Jesus meeting. Like, why be fake? Why pretend? The world is definitely after you. Your flesh wants to run from this. But the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he's here to set you free. He's here to where the places that you've had shame, to free you from it. He's here to allow you to experience living life without coping mechanisms. Just like Jesus said, what is impossible for people is possible with God, but it's impossible without God. Does that make sense? What is impossible for people is possible with God, but everything is impossible without God. And at some point, you're gonna get tired, you're gonna get frustrated, you'll wanna shake your fist at God, and he's like, hello, you're doing it without me, of course it's impossible. Come to me, have a meeting with me, sit with me, let me minister to you. Which leads me to point number two, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love this scripture so much because it's not a hall pass from responsibility. It's not the easy street to Christianity. He's saying, like, I want you to do work. I have a plan for you. There is a cost, but when you choose my way, when you choose to do it with me, when you come to me, I will make it feel light. I will multiply your time. I will increase your capacity. What's heavy for one will be light to you. My husband likes to lift weights in the gym, and he used to not be as strong as he is now. And I'm not like light as a feather, okay? I played sports, like I got muscle too. So it's not like he comes and just like scoops me up and like, that's never how it's been. But now he's really, really strong. And sometimes he'll just come and just like throw me over his shoulders. I'm like, what are you doing? And like fling me on the bed like I'm a 7-year-old. And I'm like, stop, not in that way, guys, okay. Oh my gosh. He's not even here. That's probably a good thing. I'm blushing. Listen, the Bible says a lot about marriage too, and it is good, okay? When you do it his way, it's good. Oh my gosh. Can I just talk about this whole, like, try it before you buy it, like, test drive, like, that is such a load of garbage, I can't even believe it. And just do things in the right order, okay? Like date and then get engaged and then plan a wedding and then rent a place and then move in together and enjoy the fullness of marriage, all right? Don't try to take shortcuts. You won't enjoy it, okay? Anyway, marriage is really good when it's done God's way, right? And you need a connect group to help you figure all of those things out because it is a journey. Anyway, what was I saying? Thank you. All right, so the yoke, here we are. We're back. The more you say yes to God, the more responsibility you'll have. But the more responsibility you take on, the stronger you get. And so then it doesn't feel as hard. And every yes to God, if you do it God's way, will lead to more responsibility. And it will lead to more weight. But you get stronger. The Bible says, strengthen yourself in the Lord. We pray this prayer a lot at our house. God, multiply our time. Because we have a lot of responsibility. And we really value not being rushed and not being busy. We have a full life, but we are not running around ragged in the Yeager household because we believe that God is the one that provides a yoke that's easy to carry and is light. But in those moments when, and in this verse it says, when you feel weary and burdened, I'm gonna try not to get emotional. There have been so many seasons that on the other side of a yes to him, at the other side of a surrendered life, the other side of consecration, there is a cost. And I would be a bad pastor to you if I led you to believe that saying yes to Jesus meant that he's gonna give you a bunch of amazing things and it's gonna all feel light. No, there's a cost, it's heavy. And it's a constant challenge to turn back to him. And there have been seasons in my life where the only amount of strength that I had to stay the course was about 12 hours. And so I would have to wake up and I would have to pray and I would have to be very disciplined in making sure that I went to Jesus. Because if I didn't, my mind would spiral. I would want to give up. I would cave into discouragement. I would let wounds not be healed properly. And so you have to learn to go to Jesus. Come to me is what he says. Are you burdened? Are you weary of certain things in your life? Come to Jesus. Do you have a question? Come to Jesus. Do you have a desire? Come to Jesus. Will you just come to Jesus? The answer is always Jesus. I love the simplicity of the gospel because you're either running towards Jesus or you're running away from him or you're just stuck. And so it's always a good thing to run towards him, to run the race marked out for you. Like this life is supposed to be a race. You're not supposed to stay stagnant. Stagnant is bad. Being stuck is bad. And sometimes the hardest walk will be this. But can I just tell you that this is the perfect place to be? If you can learn how to get on your knees before Jesus and bring him the things that are on your heart, all of you, if you can learn consecration, then I promise your life will be so vibrant, so incredible, so exciting. People will be confused from the outside. We have a neighbor, we live in Coronado, and he's like the most, like it could be out of a TV show. He's really sweet. He used to be a special ed teacher. He's retired. Our kids love him. And he just was leaning over the fence. And Zeke comes in. He's like, Dad, Mr. Rob wants to talk to you. And he's not a Christian. And so Mike goes out and he's, hey, Rob, how's it going? He's like, hey, I have a question. So you work full time. Like you have businesses, right? And Mike's like, yeah, I have an engineering business and design business and few other businesses. He's like, and then I was that night at Christmas and I saw how people were responding to you and like, you have a lot of responsibility at church, like a full-time job at church, right? He's like, well, yeah, I do. I love being a pastor of a church. He's like, but then I see you out here almost every day with your kids, like throwing the ball with them, connecting with them. Like, how is that possible? Your life doesn't make sense. And it was just the most beautiful moment because that's what it looks like to live fully for Jesus. You don't sacrifice your kids. You don't sacrifice your family. You don't sacrifice your dreams. You don't sacrifice anything. You only gain Jesus. And when you gain Jesus, you gain everything. Everything. You can go through anything with Jesus. Death, where's your sting? Riches, sure, take them. I don't care. I'm following Jesus. So I want to open up this altar for all of us as a church to have a come to Jesus meeting. And this is holy ground. It's not a quinceanera venue tonight, folks. And I just want to prophesy over us as a church family that we would learn how to go to Jesus. We would learn how to be in community, but not at the expense of discarding Jesus himself. And so I just want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. I'm going to open up the altar and I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit will help you examine your own heart and that no pride, no flesh, no idol will keep you from encountering him, keep you from running to him, keep you from avoiding him. Holy Spirit, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you that you created them with purpose, that you knit them together in their mother's wombs, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that they are good for this life of following you. I thank you right now that you are facilitating encounters. I pray that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I break any bondage that's keeping them from having the mind of Christ. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that tonight when the altar is open, that there would be a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, that old men would see dreams, that young men would have visions, that the spirit of tongues would come on people and fall on people, that the giftings would be unlocked in people, that we would be a church that's not afraid to step out of our comfort zone, that's not afraid of the cost. We want you. You say, come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. And so I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just a fresh outpouring of your peace, a fresh outpouring of your power, a fresh outpouring of your love, a holy place for consecration to happen, for people to be set apart from the things that they used to turn to, that they would feel invigorated in the morning to wake up and turn to their word instead of their iPhone. That tonight when they go home, if they're tempted to turn to alcohol or drugs or make really bad choices with their girlfriend or boyfriend, that there'd be something different in them because of an encounter that will happen tonight. So we ask you to have your way with us. We ask you to have your way with our life. We surrender our finances to you. We surrender our hopes to you, our dreams to you. We thank you that you're strengthening us, that we're gonna stay the course, that we're good for the task, that we're not just like the demons that know that you're real, but that we are the set apart ones filled with faith and fire from heaven to see revival happen in us first. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Wow. What an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.